Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, this has been quite a week. Nobody will believe what has happened this week. But I'm going to start off by saying 2 years ago, 2017, at this time, I was in prison. I was at the Marquette prison, Muskegon prison. And I tell you, it was war and peace. Nobody will believe the prison system itself. I was getting ready to go see the parole boy. And knowing that I had nothing really to tell them that would ask them to be released, because they wanted me to admit to a crime that I did not commit. And unfortunate for them, I wasn't going to do it. There was no way possible that I would admit to something that I did not do. No, and they knew I didn't do it. So that was the most important thing. But they wanted me to, so they can clear their mind, so they can clean their system out. They wanted me to say that, yes, I did it. I told them, absolutely not. I said, no, I did not. I said, there's no way possible that I could have done anything of that, which wasn't really a major thing. They was accusing me of forgery on a recall petition. And basically, there was no such charge as forgery on a recall petition. But they wanted me to admit that I did something wrong, that I actually changed the date that was on the recall petition, which I believe from my heart that they may have done it themselves, the sheriff department and the county clerk. I think they wanted me so bad that they didn't know what to do. I know when I was convicted by this all-white jury that was motivated by something other than the truth, with absolutely no evidence, none, they could have convicted me. They convicted me saying that I was the CEO and president of BANCO, the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization. They found me guilty because I was the president of BANCO. That's really what it was. They had this girl, Gail Freeman, who's a friend of the county clerk, Sharon Tyler, working on it. They had one girl on there who used to sing in a choir with the judge. They go around singing carols. They had all their people on this. And it's unfortunate that we don't really get the big picture. See, we don't work like that as Black people. We're not going to go and say something that, because we're too intimidated by these people to say that, well, it's impossible for him to have done something like that. Or I want you to say this for me and go in the courtroom and say this. They're not going to do it. Because for one thing, most Black people rather see you go to jail. I know it's hard for you to believe, but most of them rather see you go to jail. They rather see you in jail. Somehow, they get their jollies off by you going to jail. But if you commit a murder, you go rob somebody and stuff like that, what they call it, the code of silence. They're snitching and stuff like that. And, you know, they don't snitch on each other. No one unless it's their uncle. Then they want to go tell on somebody else. So it's all kind of stuff that was going on. But here's the thing. Here I am getting ready to go before the board. And the board wanted to know what happened. I explained to them exactly what happened. I actually told them that law enforcement committed the crime, and it looked like it broke their heart. So now what they want to know, why would I go out here and help other Black people knowing that these Black people don't like you? They actually told me that. They don't like you. I know they don't, but that's not important whether you like me or not. I care less about whether somebody likes me. You know, I wouldn't give you that much power over me. Go around talking about, I don't like him. Well, so what? You know, who cares? I don't care. And what made this thing so important is that the parole board was trying to figure out a way how they was not going to give me a parole. They sent me to see a psych. The psych was, she was so kind. She was just so sweet. She said, they want to know why you would want to help people, because people nowadays don't help each other. And I said, well, that's my mission. That's what God has given me to do, and I'm going to fulfill that. You know, I said, it's not important, you know, whether people actually like it or not, because all while I was away, not one person out of all the people I have helped in this community, I'm talking about maybe over thousands and thousands of people I have helped, thousands, you know, hundreds of people I have kept from going to prison and going to jail. That's right. I'm talking about, I have won more cases spiritually than any lawyer in 3-4 counties. There was an attorney here who's been practicing law for 25 to 30 years and never won a case. Never. Never won a case. There were several of them. And they was happy with that because they was getting paid to send black folks to prison. Not one person in this community stood up and said that was wrong. Not one until I came along. I would go there and court watch and watch them dogs, them devils, and they thought that, you know, they had it going on. They would sit back and they'd come over, they'd be drunk as a skunk at 9 o'clock in the morning and felt that it was okay to send innocent people to prison. People who should not even be in prison. I would say most of, probably 60% of the people that were sent to prison, and probably in my 20-year tenure here, from 2000 up until today, that they have sent more than 1,000 people to prison that should not be in prison. The ones who I helped. Those who I couldn't help, because a lot of times black people don't listen to other black people. A white person has to tell a black person that, you know, that's the right thing, because we got in our system that we don't believe. Well, why would that happen? Well, for some reason, this is what they do. We have to understand who these people are. But listen, now I'm in here talking to the parole board. And the parole board is trying to tell me, I'm nice though. I'm nice and humble, and telling you, well, I had to be humble because they was the key to my freedom. So when she was trying to convince me that it says here and it says there, I said, well, do you see any place on it that said that I did something wrong? You got the papers right in front of you. Is there any evidence to support that I did something wrong? I'm not arguing with her now. Don't get me wrong, because you can't do that. I'm just kind of asking her a simple question. Is there any evidence at all that says Reverend Edward Pinckney did something wrong? Any. If it is, I'll admit to it. She couldn't say it. Well, she said, well, I'm going to send you to see a psych. Something got to be wrong with you mentally. Yeah, who would believe that? Who would do something for people for nothing and you get nothing out of? And here's another thing. The recall was so important to get rid of this mayor. But if I had to recall this same mayor again and the same guy that the mayor today was going to be in there, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And that's a terrible thing for me to say. I wouldn't do it. Because if I could have just looked into the future, I don't, you know, going to prison was no big deal to me, because it kind of like gave us validity. It gave us something that we never had before to prove that these people are wrong and they're evil, they're wicked, and they'll do all these things. But to put this guy in office who we thought that would go in and do the right thing, it would have been working. But unfortunately, he went in, and he's worse than the guy we went on to recall. He's the guy we recall on steroids. Yes, he is. He went in there with the intention of figuring out a way how he's going to fatten up his family and to make himself look good. And we as black people, we have a long history of not doing our homework. If you would have told me that this guy Marcus Muhammad would have went in there and did that, I would say no way. Because the minister was sitting at my kitchen table when he told this young man, he asked this young man, he told him, he said, why don't you run for mayor? And he said, maybe I will. He said, yeah, I want to run. He said, but if you become mayor, will you take care of the people? Will you take care of the people? Will you take care? This is Minister Louis Farrakhan telling one of his students. And he's sitting at my kitchen table, lying through his teeth. I didn't know that he was lying. The minister didn't know he was lying. But now we all know that this guy is a liar. A born liar. And it's unfortunate that we as black people don't simply do what is right. To me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, the easiest thing to do in the world is just to do what's right for the people. We've been kicked around. We've been, everything you could think of that you could think of had happened to us had happened. And yet we got people who sit around, help these people kick us. We don't say a mumbling word. And we'll fight with you, knowing that you're right, and this guy is wrong, and we'll fight. No, that couldn't be here. They wouldn't do that. Whirlpool is not like that. Yes, they are like that. They would even kill you. That's right. They would even kill you if necessary to stop you. This is the world that we live in today. We're living in a world today that is ran by the billionaires. They run everything. Everything that goes on, it goes through them. And we cannot continue to live on this level. We got to change the way that we do business. We're beginning to be a dying race. We don't get it. We just don't get it. But anyway, I want to say something on a good note. We passed out more than 15 water filters in our community during this week because the water is contaminated. Not only with lead, but they got bacteria that's really affecting the people. The bacteria is the one that's killing people more than the lead. The lead eat up the brain, yes it does. But the bacteria eat the body up. And they don't want nobody to know. They made an announcement that the water was good. And I knew the water was good. So I went through the University of Michigan, the biological department, and we performed tests. And actually they performed over 150 tests so far. And here's the sad news. 127 of the tests came back that the water was contaminated and undrinkable. Out of 150, 127 homes had water that was undrinkable. You could not drink the water. And that's letting the truth be told, because this was a very bad week in the city of Benton Harbor for knowing facts, because they don't want you to know that things are bad inside the city of Benton Harbor. They're doing everything within their power structure to make sure that the people don't know. And most black people, they don't go out and investigate none. If the newspapers say the water is good to drink, it's good to drink in their eyesight. If the elected officials say the water is good to drink, then it's good to drink. If Whirlpool says it's good to drink, it's good to drink, according to them. But not so. Not so. We got to change the way it's affecting our children. Here and you know, that lead in there, the children, they can't concentrate, they can't do anything, and now they have what they call a new lead in the water. But what I'm going to do, I want to move on. I want to bring in one of my good friends who I was just looking at our eighth grade picture on yesterday. He used to sit behind me in the classroom. He's a very good friend. He stayed two houses down from me on Lexington and Pulaski. And I always looked at him as my friend. He was always a good guy, always right on point. We talked and we could always jive with each other. But that's what we did because it was important to get through this stuff. But he's a good guy. But I'm going to read an article that they wrote about it, Larry Pinson Sr. It says here, now this is not Reverend Pinckney trying to build up his friend. This is Reverend Pinckney saying the blacknews.com. It reads, meet the genius who revolutionary payroll system could prevent future government shutdown. Now listen to that. That's big. Meet the genius, Larry Pinson Sr., who revolutionary payroll system could prevent future government shutdown. And I believe that. The retired postal employee Larry Pinson Sr. shed light on the complicated ancient system that the government still practices today. And here's a nice picture with him and Jane Fonda. He lives in Maywood, Illinois. It says the pay system used by the United States Postal Service and many other government agencies has become outdated in a sense that technological advance of today is no longer compatible with the slow-paced practice from decades ago. Unfortunately, the postal system of America has seen no change in the process they use in recording clockable hours and converting this to employee income. Larry Pinson Sr. took the initiative to create an organized system that can be better understood by one who are using it. In his book that he wrote, that's right, Larry Pinson Sr. wrote a book. In his book, Chaps, Clockable Hours, Application Process, and Pay System, he explains how postal employees are being paid unfairly in the current system. And it should not be the case if people are more aware of how each hour of their work is being commissioned. He also includes information and explanation on non-scheduled days, part-time flex, overtime, night differential, leave, holiday, and much, much, much more. The best part is that CHAPS is not only limited to the United States Postal System, government employees like city, county staff, teachers, post office, police officers, firemen, public transportation, employees, as well as private sector business could benefit with what Larry Pinson Sr. proposed in his instructional book. Chat, Clockable Hour, Application Process, and Pay is available to be purchased on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. You can contact Larry Pinson Sr. at Pinson1615comcast.net. My friend, my guy, Larry Pinson. Larry Pinson, my friend, my guy, who have always been there. Larry Pinson, are you there?
Yes, Ed. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. It's so good to hear your voice. I tell you, I've been busy all week just rocking and rolling and rocking, trying to make things happen, trying to make people just do the right thing. You know, it's, you know, sometimes it can get to be a little difficult at times, but I tell you, you got to keep moving. You know, once God has ordained you to do something, you can't let anything stop you from accomplishing that goal. And it's my understanding that God has ordained you to write this book. And I tell you, it would almost take a genius to actually put this book together the way you have. Some of the things that that I have read inside the book is so amazing. But I'm going to let you tell the folks, and I'm going to ask you a few questions afterwards. But I want to make sure that the people understand. I want you to start at the very beginning. Matter of fact, I sent out an email to some of the people to tell them that you was going to be on. And if they have any questions, they can send it to me after the show, and we'll talk about it next week, because we want to get people to understand the value of this book, the value of what you're trying to do here, because it's so important. Because after reading the book myself, I can see where you're going with myself, but a person would have to read the book. But we're going to allow you to explain it, and if they don't get it, we'll give you another opportunity to explain the book. So, Larry, talk to me. Start at the very beginning. Tell us how this came about. Let's start at the very beginning, how you managed to write the book. That's the most important part.
Okay. Let me tell you this. When I went to the United States Post Office, when I first got hired, before I went in and before I got to the front door, I said a little prayer. I said, "Lord, please, God, let me get this job." You know, it was a truck driving job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got in there and I got the job. And it was a roster. I think they had about 200 people applied for the job.
Mm-hmm.
But on that particular roster, I was the number one person on that roster. It was a bunch of white guys on there. They had white women, and black men. Not that many, but I was the number one. And after we had took the test and everything, and then they said, "Well, we're gonna call you up here in order on how you scored on the test."
Uh-huh.
And then everybody was looking at me. Everybody was nervous. And then so the first name they called on that roster was Larry Pinson. And I jumped up. And I had to go in for an oral interview. And
mm-hmm.
so I jumped up. And I could feel the knives and pins in my back, man. All the
uh-huh.
jealousy, man.
Mm-hmm.
All the
mm-hmm.
jealousy, man. And I strutted up there, man. You know, I did a Denzel on them, man. You know. You know how it walked, you know.
Yeah.
I did a President Obama walk, strutted
well,
up there.
Well, I know how
you
walk anyway, so your walk is a Denzel.
Oh, yeah. You know, back in the hood, you know, there's just a little pimp walk a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to get
yeah.
to out, you know. Man, uh-huh. I was so happy. I said, "Thank you, Lord, thank you." But anyway, let's move on. Once I got there, you know, I got hired and stuff. And in processing, they told me, they said, we can only guarantee you 20 hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What?" You know, I did a radio show on that particular thing. It's three additional chaps I got out there. And the first
mm-hmm.
edition is ex-Libris. And so I did a radio show on ex-Libris. And so
mm-hmm.
everything I said in the radio show is fine. But if somebody happened to go online, on YouTube or wherever, and listen to that radio show, I said the same thing I'm telling you. They told me that I'm only guaranteed 20 hours per week. And then I told
mm-hmm.
them, "Hey, look, man, I can't work off. I can't deal with those 20 hours a week."
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Larry, you're going to get 40 hours a week and plus overtime." Now, just like one of the our great prophets that was passed away, I'm going to use some of his words. you know, right there, I was hoodwinked, and I was bamboozled, and I was had. All right, now, sure enough, I went to work. I got 40 hours a week. I got overtime. But I'm still thinking, where is the overtime coming in at? Because, you know, on a yearly salary, it's no overtime in 8 hours. And if you do a 24-hour schedule, that means you had to have three tours. So you only have 8 hours. That's according to the laws, you know, the labor law. You only have 8 hours. But if you go over eight, and then you get time and a half, and then in some cases you get double time, you know, but you only entitled to 5 days a week, man. And so I said, I'm still thinking, well, how are you getting overtime? And then, at the end of this, all of this, after years and years and years and years of me trying to understand CHOP in the system, because I didn't get no help from nobody. Mm-hmm. Even the workers that knew me, they would call me clockable, you know. And the main thing, I even 204B, you know, people that work for the United States Post Office understand what I'm talking about. And that was just an acting supervisor, okay? I ran transportation, but the first thing my supervisor told me, cut down on the overtime, and so that's what I did. But the dude didn't like me. Say, hey, you gotta get Larry. I'm up there, man, because he's taking all our overtime. The people was misled and hoodwinked about overtime. There's no such thing as overtime. And then how they get overtime in there. Your schedule is not linked to the person. In other words, what I'm saying is your tour is not linked to the person. It's very important. It's very important that the people got to understand you got to come in on your 8-hour tour. And it's just 8 hours. You don't be hanging around, you know, 8.5 hours. I mean, you go take a lunch. There's no lunch in 8 hours. It's a half an hour break, but there's no lunch in it. Because guess what? You are going over your tour. The people got to understand that. Okay, now, when I talk to most people, when I talk to most people, first of all, they can say, I ask them, how many hours you have to work for a yearly salary? I don't know. Okay, it's 2,080 hours that you're going to work for a yearly salary. All right, a tour is 8 hours, and it's it's three tours in one day. We call them tours in the United States Post Office. On a regular job, they call them shifts. And then at the CTA, at the Chicago Transit Authority, they call them picks. Now, I don't know, you know, they might have a reason, a name for some other job, but, you know, I'm just using those three jobs, okay? But it's nothing but an 8 hours, and then you out. Mm-hmm. And then you off 16, and then you come back. And so that's why, they said the United States Constitution said every man and woman is created equal. Okay? Now, is LeBron James created equal to these basketball players out there? No. Steph Curry? No. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about, and God revealed that to me. All this revelation, you know, God revealed it to me. This is not that Larry Pence came up with, you know, because I was chosen. You know, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 to 22, and some of that in there, he said, lack of knowledge, his people is going to destroy themselves. And look at this. We are destroying ourselves, you know, and because of lack of knowledge. And then, you know, I asked you the other week we talked, and I said, Ed, I said, what do the people want, man? What's the main thing? What they want, you know? And you said, jobs, you know. I said, man, jobs are no problem. You know, God showed me. I said, read chapter, run chapter. I said, God, let's show this to me. You know, but the people rejecting Chap. Just like you said, a white man didn't write it. They ain't going to believe no Negro. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even when I took that picture with Jane, it was a reason for that little head. And you know what? I'm going to get off the track with that a little bit because I got to talk about Jane. Jane gave substance to that book, man. People call me crazy. Yeah, you know, and they look at the thing, Jane, Jane, you know, big time. But Jane, you know, she did not have no idea that now about Chap. Now, I'm going to tell you how this thing worked now. I sent that picture down south to one of my cousins, and they saw it. And they said, man, Willie Mae Arne was a maid for Jane Fonda. I said, what? And he said, Willie Mae Arne, Jane Fonda was crazy about it. You know, she bought her some kind of fancy car. That's what he called it. Some kind of fancy car, kind of like a Mercedes or something. Mm-hmm. But she was a maid for Jane. Now, my mother know Willie Mae. My sister know Willie Mae. And I knew him briefly because I was young when I left Georgia. I was 6 years old when I left.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother knew her, and she lived right next door to my aunt. They know, she know Jane, you know, Willie Mae know all them people. Well, okay, now I'm going to get off the track with that. You know, I just thought that was amazing. But anyway,
it was amazing that you and I came together. How we got, because, you know, just my connections with everybody, you know, definitely have given you credibility.
Oh, you know, you're exactly right. And I felt when I went to your birthday party, I was so happy and so grateful because you had all those activists in there. Now, I want to say something right now. I know I'm jumping, but I gotta jump, and then I'm gonna come back to it. But the activists, I gotta say something to all those activists that's out there marching for something that's good. But what you're doing, you have to make sure everybody is in a Chap's pay system. And I'm going to tell you why. But because God gave everybody 168 hours. And so he said he wants you to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. Now, that sounds crazy as all get out, okay? Hey, look, Ed found a crazy man. He ain't no genius, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that Negro, you know? That's what they're saying, you know, but I'm going to tell you what's wrong, man. You know, read Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 18 to 22. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Larry. You always talking about the minister. Now, I'm going to tell you to tell the minister this. Anytime a black man can put together a million man march and have under control and ain't nothing but love, you better start listening to them. He deserves to be listened to.
Absolutely.
You know, just like at Aretha Franklin funeral service. You know, you have some people, you know, up there. I'm not gonna mention their name, but I said the minister was up there just smiling, and I was waiting for him to. And then I got kind of angry because he didn't speak because I wanted him to say something. But afterwards, he told why, you know, I was listening to him, and he said why he didn't speak. Now I'm steady hollering on the TV at the minister, please, you know, no, you just run Chap. Tell them to run Chap, man. Tell them all those black young men in jail, take that book and walk up in there and just sling that book in there and knock them locks off them cells and bring them brothers out of that jail and with a job at a clean slate. We don't want to hear no talking about, no. You had a felony or whatever, and you can't have a job. Man, you must be out your mind, because you know what? Once you work in a child pay system, any type of job you are doing is debt-free. You ain't working to be paid to be, you know, just like if you're a lawyer, you're working in a child pay system, it's debt-free. So, you know, because there ain't no such thing as somebody, I can't afford no lawyer. Every lawyer should be working in a child pay system. So now we can get equal grounds when you go to court. Because, you know, they're going to say you're a public defendant. That public defendant, he got to be credible to a private defendant. Now, guess what? All this stuff we are paying by taxes. We are paying those crooked judges. We are paying those crooked police officers. And guess what? Out of your taxes, they're taking out anything. It's just like if somebody get killed, well, when the crooked cops go out there and shoot somebody in the back 16 times, and then they sue the city, the city is reliable. But guess what? The city has taxes the people. So in other words, we are paying, you know, you want the family to get some kind of compensation, but you don't want the family to get some kind of compensation, because I'm going to have to pay that because of a stupid cop that made the mistake, and he's happy about it because we are paying his salary. He's making overtime, which is no such thing as overtime in 8 hours. You know, he's happy about it. We are paying that. The city police officers overtime budget is extraordinary. And it's year after year after year after year. And then they always crying about we don't have no money, you know. But like I said again, every job in the child pay system is debt free. The reason I say it is debt free, because Jesus Christ, he did it. Jesus Christ, he taught. With all the teachers, you teach debt free. Preachers, he preached. All you preachers, you preach debt free. Now, how you preach debt free? Of course, you need to have a salary. Of course, but you go to the bank. And then when you establish your church, get a loan, and establish who's getting paid. I don't care, you pay yourself. Who knows? Pay yourself $1 million. And then if your congregation, you know, let the congregation pay it back. But, you know, you're going to get it back in 1 year. So once you get it back in 1 year and you pay that loan off, now that money is up there year after year after year. You have to work 10 hours a week for this year's salary, 10 hours a week to pay for all your benefits, 10 hours a week to pay for a stipend pay, and 10 hours a week to pay for next year's salary. Now, there's no more getting the budget together every year, year after year after year after year, taxing people. You're just taxing people crazy. Now, I'm going to say something. Right now, we got new meat is in the White House in Congress. Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of women up there, you know.
Okay.
Now, it's one lady, you know, she used the word, she cursed. She used the same word President Trump said, you know, and President Trump used the P word. President Trump said everything, but he jumped up there talking about it's not becoming to use curse words. Man, I almost fell out my seat, man. That devil. But you know what, though, little Ed? I'm going to tell you something. It's a reason for Trump to be there. See, the reason for Trump being there and closing down the government, now people are going to be ready to listen to the little old black boys that wrote that book. Chap.
Mm.
Now the people are going to be ready to listen to read the part and Deuteronomy chapter 18. verse 18 to 22, and know who I am, and know why God sent me, why I was born to write that book. Now, look, Ed, I didn't volunteer for it. Trust me. I didn't volunteer for this headache. But you know what? Anytime somebody can write a book, to say they could open up the government right now, they said, if you read chapter tomorrow, you would open up the government, because you got people that use the 168. So you have people working, but then you won't have to use no more taxpayers' money. That's why it's on the book. It says job creation without corporate money. Job creation without taxpayers' money. Job creation without private business owners' money. Man, please. CHAP is the way. And CHAP is God's pay system. It's for the whole world, not just the United States of America. You know, they need CHAP over there, and no people there in them yellow jackets throwing bricks over there at those politicians. They're throwing bricks at them, you know. You imagine Donald Trump's over there. How many bricks he going to get thrown at, you know?
Mm.
CHAP will solve all of that, man. And I'm not boasting. So just run CHAP and see. That's what you do. Because there's some people, like you said, they don't believe it. Oh, where did this Negro come from? You know, what college did he go to? Nah, man. You know, I went to the college of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He told me to write a book for his people, and I did that. I did that, little Ed. Run CHAP for police officers. Police officers, missed schedule, out of this world. Now, the reason for that, little Ed, is on the certain pockets of the city that you have the police officers. You know, you got crime. You got heavy crime. But it's a reason for that, because the white people want to take the city back, and so they're gonna tax you with higher taxes. So they're gonna run you back down south somewhere. But I'm not going nowhere. You know, I was raised. I wasn't born down south. You know, so then I didn't leave nothing down south. You know that, like when Abraham Lincoln, you know what he said? Oh, we're gonna give you 40 acres and a mule. Now, who in
That's
the
right.
world, you know, who in the world want a mule? What you gonna do with a mule now? Who in the world want 40 acres? But I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be funny. But with the 40 acres, they gonna give you. They gonna see a hurricane strip that they know now. That hurricane coming up through that every year, knocking down stuff. You know, they gonna give you a flood plain. You know, you go, that water got to go. It's just like Richard Pryor said, that water got to go somewhere. I can't warn the people. They're going to find out sooner or later when that water hits you, Doc.
Mm.
You know? So I'm just saying that, Ed, this is the answer. Now, are you activists? You know, women's rights. Women want equal pay, equal work. You got that in chat. Because every woman at the United States Post Office, they are getting equal pay for equal work. You got that. And that's why CHAP is top heavy. Now, you know what? President of the United States, he's going to talk about he's going to build a wall. Man, and he's letting these kids die on the border. And then he's going to say something about, we can't have them coming there. They're criminals and stuff like that. The president, he done lost his mind, man. But you know what, though? Little Ed. If all the black activists sent President Trump an email, a tweet, he liked to get on Twitter. So everybody tweet him. Tell him to run CHAP. And not only run CHAP, and he's going to have to repent.
Mm.
And he's going to be all right. And then he could open up that government. You know, he saved face right there. Because he's on a downward spiral that is gonna crash and burn real soon. But we're not in the vengeance era. That's left up to God. Vengeance is man, said the Lord.
That's
so,
right.
So we cannot do that. Mm-hmm. All we can do is tell him. And then the new people that's in, you know, just like that mayor that you helped put in office, tell him
yeah.
to run tap. Tell him. Say, look, man, you know, you have 168. And so our taxes, we're paying your salary. So we don't want to pay your salary. We want you to run tap. Now, you have a budget up there. And so you run taps in the child pay system. Remember what I said. You going to work 10 hours a week for this year's salary, 10 hours a week for a stipend pay, 10 hours a week for all your benefits, and 10 hours a week for your next year's salary. So therefore, people in Benton Harbor do not have to pay taxes to pay those crooked politicians. Do not have to pay taxes to pay for the garbage pickup. Do not have to pay taxes for cleaning the street. Do not have to pay taxes for the firemen. Because the firemen, you're sucking and jiving, you know, even though they're on the clock and they're on the tax pay system, you know, I had to knock on wood. I've been paying homeowners fire insurance ever since 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be funny, but all that money is gone, man. 1980. And the fireman, he haven't put out a fire yet. But in the child pay system, he mm-hmm. would be ready. He's putting it back. And the reason he's putting it back, because it's a generational pay system. Man, mm-hmm. you know, you look at, you saw those old white men, you know, in the Congress, in the Senate, you know, just them nine old judges up there, they're out of touch. They're out of touch with that generation. That generation is gone, little Ed. They like gone with the wind, Doc. You know, they don't have no clue on what the millennials want or Generation X. It's time for us to move on. But we can't move, little Ed. We still have to work until we get CHAP out there. And all you actors, run CHAP. You know, because now that broken down Social Security system that they got, it's nothing. Now, just for instance, if I made $50,000 a year, so I should have been getting a double that. So in the CHAP pay system, if your yearly salary is $50,000, you got to work another 2,080 hours for $50,000 to pay for all your benefits. You got to work another 2,080 hours to pay for your stipend pay. You have to work another 2,080 hours to pay for your next year's salary. Now, if for a total of 8,320 hours, you know, like I said, 10, 10, 10, and 10. Now, people got to be cognizant of their pay location. They be cognizant of the four-in-the-box pay system that I have set up in the book. You got to be cognizant of the three bids that's for every tour. And then once you fill that one box, then you go on and do the same thing. It's redundant. You repeat yourself. Everything is redundant year after year after year after year. Now, once you work in the child pay system for 40 years, you have actually worked 160 years, man. People don't understand that. You know, and another thing, the people in the United States Post Office, they think they work a 52-week pay system. That's not true. It's three fiscal years, government fiscal years that ends September the 30th. It's three government fiscal years and one calendar year. That is the system that's in the United States Post Office. But there's no guideline to it. There's no book that ever been written about it. That's why, you know, I said, you know, it's antiquated. You know, it's never been updated. But and there ain't nobody ever really said anything about it. Nobody.
Mm.
But you know what? That's why I'm here.
Amen. Let me ask you this question now.
Go ahead.
We're talking about 168 hours. That's 1 week.
Exactly.
Is that correct? Okay. But you don't work a whole 168 hours. You only work 40 hours in a week. Okay.
Exactly.
So those other hours, what happened to them other hours?
Okay, the other hours is the other shift. Get them. See, you know, it's three shifts. So, In other words, if it's three shifts, if it's 3 8-hour shifts, that means you work your 8 hours, and then you had to be off 16 hours before you can come back to work. Okay? So if you off 16 hours, then, you know, 5 days a week, you work eight, and you off 16 for 5 days a week. Now, that's within 1 week. Now, remember, a regular work week is not 5 days. A regular work week is 7 days, 24/7. That's a regular work week. See, a lot of people get confused. They just think that they had the responsibility of just working 5 days and 5 day week. But it's a 7 day work week. And then on a holiday, it's an 8 day work week. And then I know a lot of people scratching their head now, talking about, I know what this dude, this Negro, gonna get 8 days out of seven. You know, it's easy. You know, because, like I said, in my four in the box pay system, just look at it. You know, just understand that I'm not gonna mislead you. So don't be talking about, you know, I'm lying and stuff like that. You have been misled long enough of being hoodwinked, and you paying somebody else's salary, like a crooked politician's salary. You know, you need to go on, you need to read some of my blogs that I have on PensonSenior.com on my website, and read what I say about overtime. Read what I say about those, because guess what? Every politician constituent is in an hourly pay system, but a politician is not. What? Yeah, a politician is not. They're taking your taxes, and they're getting paid, and they're going to get paid. Well, mm-hmm. I think every politician is not in a cap pay system, and they ain't close to being in a cap pay system. They get figuring out some kind of way of getting taxes from you, which God do not like his people being taxed. So that's why I'm here, you know, to put a stop to this right now. And I know, and hey, tell everybody, Ed, you know, that ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. And make sure you tell the ministers also, it ain't no more taxing us no more to pay your salary, you know, so you can lock us up and lie, you know, shoot us in the back, you know, then you take out enough, just in case if you do get caught, now you got to pay reparation to the people with my tax money. Man, please, you must have lost your mind.
But, yo, let's go back to that you said 8 days in a week. Let's go back to that when you're talking about rather than have a seven-day week. Explain to me about the 8 days in a week.
Okay, an eight-day week is a holiday week. And the post office get paid. They have to accrue money.
You get paid twice. Are you, for that one day you get paid twice for?
Yes. But you don't come to work. So in other words, like Thanksgiving, okay. Well, what they'll do is run a Sunday schedule for Thanksgiving because you're guaranteed 5 days of pay. See.
Uh-huh.
You're guaranteed that. And so they will cancel your work day. So on a holiday work week, when they cancel your work day, the money for that particular day is still going on behind the scenes. See, but you will get paid your holiday pay that you have to accrue and your benefits. Post office don't give you nothing. They just don't, you know, people say, oh, the post office gave me nothing. Post office ain't gave you nothing, man. You know, but they look to the post office. Instead of looking to God, look to God, because God said, you know, he will give you back double. Everything that your ancestors didn't get, your ancestors that was whipped by them chains, you know, and ran by them hound dogs all through those swamps down there and those Georgia swamps, you know what, and I'm picking that Georgia cotton, you know, man, please, you know, my ancestors did not get that. And then, you know, you got people jumping around and talking about, I want my revenue. You ain't pick no cotton, Negro. You ain't picking it. You don't know how to pick no cotton, you know, a plow mule. Look at here. You get your money by working 168. At every job, you know, now, every job you work is debt free because you pay yourself. You know, you ain't get paid. You ain't get paid for what you're doing. You know, you get paid to leave there and to put the money back for the next generation. You know, for the next generation. And then I have to add this to the Ed. Any law, any man-made law that go against God's law will not last.
All right.
You know, I had to throw that out there.
Yeah.
And so tell me, run chat. Even if you don't understand chat, run chat. Because he's a, you know, this dude said you're going to get a double salary. And you're going to get it. You're going to get a double salary. You know, I promise you. I guarantee double salary. So God already told me that. He told me to tell you. Now it's up to you to believe it. It's up to you. I can't force you to believe it. You know, when I wrote the book, man, it was hard on me, man. You know, it was hard. But you know what? Guess what, Led? This is what I'm saying. I said it's hard on me. It's hard on me. Guess what? I'm working for God, man. How's it hard to work for a God?
Absolutely.
It must be our true man.
Absolutely. Hey, I know what you're saying. We got 90 seconds left, but I want to say hi to my good friend Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, if you can come on next week, I'll give you all the time that you need. But I have to give my good friend Big Yo this time. But Belinda, I didn't forget about you. But you only got about 90 seconds. So tell them how they can get in touch with you. Tell them where to go, and let's do it right now.
Right. All I want you to do is look at PensonSenior.com, look at my website. And then all I want you to understand that God give you your own DNA, God give you your own fingerprint, and God give you your own clockable hours. That's 168. And he wants you to work 1 week, be off 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. And then let everybody know that you had to line up in your pay location. And you're working to leave there. You're working for retirement. But you're going to get a double salary even in retirement. Oh, man. This is the pay. It's God's pay system, man. Mm-hmm. And tell everybody, tell President Trump, and make sure you tell the minister.
Yeah.
All of them get him, because we can get them guys.
We're gonna send him a book. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna send him a book with some information so he'll know what to do. Well, listen, y'all, I gotta let you go, and I want to thank all my listeners for listening. And this is my old classmate, my first baseman, the one we sent down the right field line, and a very, very good friend, smart guy, real smart guy. He learned from the best. He learned from me. And we're gonna keep it rolling. Big Yo, love you, man. Love you, man. And I want you to know we want to talk more. I'm going to get a lot of questions, and we're going to answer those questions next week. But first, I got to have on Belinda Brown next week. Belinda Brown, you're going to get all the time you need next week, because I'll make sure I don't schedule nobody but you and Yo next week. So y'all have a good day. Thank you for listening. God bless y'all, and good night to all.